Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. I am your host, Cody. This week's episode, we're continuing with the theme of September, which is comic books being adapted into television shows. I think I mentioned last week what I'm going to be talking about and rereading is The Boys by Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson. If I didn't, or if I mentioned a different book, my bad. I don't remember if I mentioned it or not. I can't remember or not. But anyways, this week's episode's on The Boys. I'll give you a brief rundown of what it's about, and we'll talk a little bit about the tumultuous history this has had by being made into a couple different times, trying to be made into a different adaptation, that sort of thing. So, The Boys was written by Garth Ennis and illustrated by Derek Robertson. Garth Ennis is an amazing writer. He has worked on so many things. It's kind of mind-boggling. The kind of thing where if you go to, like, Wikipedia, which I'm looking at right now, he's got a bibliography that you actually have to go to a separate page to look at, because he's written a lot of stuff. He's worked for every company you can imagine, some that aren't really around anymore. He's worked for DC. He worked for Fleetway way back in the day, which is where Judge Dredd and 2080 came from, or went to at one point. Doesn't matter. He's worked for Fleetway, DC Comics, Marvel Comics, Avatar, Press, Dynamite Entertainment, along with DC. He worked with Vertigo and Wildstorm, but I'll get into that a little bit as we do the publication stuff. He's written for every possible group and name in the world. He's worked on Batman stuff. He's worked on Superman stuff. He's worked on Hellblazer, which is the John Constantine books. A ton of those. He created Preacher, which is a link to the television world. It's an obviously the television program that's on AMC right now. Spectacular show. Is based on his comic book Preacher. And we'll go a little more about that too. He did The Boys, obviously, was a thing there. He created he worked on Punisher. Made a bunch of dope ass Punisher stuff. He's worked with he did a bunch of the Punisher Max stuff. If you never read the Punisher Max stuff, it's more the Max line was more of the adult themed comic books. They were very violent and had adult content in them, so they're a lot more violent. But he did an amazing run on those. One of my favorite things about Punisher that they've ever done. He actually created one of Punisher's best villains that not a whole lot of people know about, unless you're a Punisher reader, which is named Barracuda, who was so liked and so people wanted so much more about Barracuda. Is he wrote a 5-issue miniseries all about Barracuda called Punisher Max Presents Barracuda. And it's fantastic, amazing one. But he's worked on Spider-Man, he's worked on Hulk, he worked on Thor, Ghost Rider. Not that anyone remembers Phantom Eagle, but he worked on that. He's created a bunch of different books by his own right. Ones for Avatar Press, he's made. It's called Garth Ennis's Dicks. It's an interesting book. He's done. Crossed is a really good book. He did a really fun miniseries called Stitch, which actually made a miniature movie. A short film about, which is pretty fun. He did continued on. Well, I should say continued on. War Stories was a series he was doing from in Vertigo that he moved over to Avatar Press when Vertigo went belly up. Which is also why The Boys moved over to Dynamite Entertainment later on, too. Other things that he's created, Dynamite, he did The Boys, he did Battlefields, He did a run on The Shadow, and then a bunch of other randoms, random publication stuff. He worked on Star Wars for Dark Horse. He wrote a couple other books for Image and a couple other things for One Shots or something like that too. I can't remember. I should pull the whole list up, but I didn't pull the whole thing up. But anyways, that's Garth. Derek Robertson, I believe it's pronounced Derek. It's D-A-R-I-C-K. It's Derek, but Derek, I think it's pronounced. He's worked on all sorts of stuff. One of my favorite books that he's worked on is a book he did with Grant Morrison, which also got created into a TV show called Happy, which I don't think I talked about on this particular show, but I know we talked about the comic book as well as the show itself on the main podcast. His art style is highly detailed and very characteristic. He does an amazing job. The art in both Happy and in The Boys is amazing. He's one of those guys who draws his characters to look like real people. So there's lots of, not directly like real people. Isn't like, look at, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, I'm down on his. He uses a lot of those. So like, they look like people you may know. So it feels a little more familiar, and it feels, especially with like, The Boys or with Happy, he really overdoes the characterization of Nick Sachs, the main character. And he does so actually in The Boys too, but Nick Sachs for sure. So he's done a lot of stuff. He's been all over the world. He's done Justice League. He did a Nick Fury, miniseries. He's worked on The Punisher. He worked on Punisher Max, with Garth. He's worked on Wolverine, X-Men. I think it's really the biggest ones. But you know, that sort of thing. So that's Derek Robertson. So Wildstorm was an imprint of DC that originally released the first, I want to say, first 30 issues? No, that can't be right. Is it 30 issues? No. It was only like the first... It was the first part. No, here it is. It's the first six. So the first story arc he did was with Wildstorm, issues 1-6. And then it moved over. It was picked up by Dynamite when they shuttered and absorbed some things from Wildstorm into the bigger DC universe, which never really went into or anywhere until like late last year before. So Wildstorm was an imprint that was started by, oddly enough, a lot of people who basically so Wildstorm was founded by Jim Lee and Brandon Cho, who were later founding members of Image Comics along with so many other people. After they left and it kind of went away. You know, it was fun while it lasted. Some weird books in there. The Wildstorm actually was kind of the early outline and blueprint for what Image Comics ended up becoming, and essentially becoming the third largest comic book manufacturer or publishing company in the world. And in some people's minds were... it's like probably number two, really. But DC and Marvel are never going to really go away. But other books that came out of Wildstorm, one of my favorites is Ex Machina by Brian K. Vaughan, which I will eventually talk about on this here show. But they had a bunch of different, really good books that were very bizarre. They were the very strange, books. A lot of books actually by, Warren Ellis, who's done one of them became a movie, because he did not do, I think Red is the only thing that he did for them that went on to do anything else, but he did a book called Red, which later became a movie with that got its own sequel with Bruce Willis and a couple other Morgan Freeman's in it, and John Malkovich is in it. The first movie was actually really good. The second movie was kind of bleh. But yeah, so they got a lot of, the Wildstorm had a lot of really good creators behind it, because they did a lot of creator-owned titles, like those ones I brought up, because there was this need for it, that they just, that creators were making, they wanted to write their own stories that weren't from the big two companies, and that's kind of where, again, Wildstorm came from, got bought out by DC, was absorbed into them, and then a lot of those people went over to make stuff for Image, still do actually make stuff for Image. Jim Lee eventually left Image and went back to DC, but that's a whole different story. Dynamite has a very weird history of creating really good creator-owned books, but also just a shit ton of licensed properties. Game of Thrones, they do their book. They have Battlestar Galactica. You have like the Freddy and Jason books, like Freddy versus Jason versus Ash, like, you know, that's a thing. Green Hornet. They do a comic book for Grimm, which is that show on NBC, or was a show on NBC. I don't know if it's still a show on NBC. They did a Twilight Zone book. They did Stargate. They did Voltron, Xena. I believe they did a, I want to say they did a Hercules book. I did a Highlander book. They have a really good James Bond book, that's done by Warren Ellis, or partially done by Warren Ellis. Lone Ranger, like all sorts of shit. I don't want to say shit, but all sorts of titles from a lot of past years stuff and sci-fi stuff. RoboCop, Terminator, a lot of weird, like really like stuff that people wanted to make more movies and stuff about, but obviously there's a little too expensive to do. Right, wrote comic books about them. So, you know, that's out there. So that's Dynamite. So brief history of, the, I don't know why I opened that page twice. I'm looking at the same thing I was just looking at. So I'll break down what the, essentially the story about, the Boys, is. So, it is essentially about this group of people. So there's five individuals, that are on this team called, the Boys, and they're not all boys. I'll get to that in a minute. That are tasked to watch, monitor, and stop people with superpowers from doing bad things. So they are known as a super-powered CIA squad, known informally as the Boys, and they are charged with monitoring the superhuman community, and when need be, punishing them, and that includes snuffing them out. So a quote from Garth Ennis when asked about the Boys, he says that he wanted to make a series that would out-preacher-preacher because of the extreme violence and sexuality that was basically a hallmark of the Preacher series. He wanted to take that and, ramp it up. So he definitely did it. It caught the eye of several people, winning a couple of awards and nominated for at least a couple, but I think he won a couple too. He never won for any for this. Nominated for Best Continuing Series as from an Eisner's. Nominated for Comic Book of the Year under $3 from Diamond, which is the distributor for comic books. And the nominated for Best Comic Book or Graphic Novel by Scream Awards, because it is super violent and amazing. You can You can buy them in collections. You can do, there's two different ways you can get it. There's trade paperbacks that are, there's 12 of them. You can also do the definitive collection, which there's six of those, which basically combine one and two, three and four, five and six, seven and eight, nine and 10, 11 and 12, respectively, together. And get those ones. I believe you can still get those everywhere online and stuff. I know you can get the trades. Or you can also go on, I found it, to reread it, because I wasn't going to dig my copies out because I have way too many things to try to dig through. If you are a subscriber to the Amazon Prime, you can get discounts on that one, so you can digital comics. Or if you do the Comixology Unlimited, again, not a sponsor, just a pretty awesome way of reading stuff. For $5.99 a month, I believe it is, so $6 a month, there's thousands of books you can read. And The Boys happen to be on there. I know at least the first issue is, because I downloaded it on my iPad to reread it before I started the podcast, started to record about it, because it's been a few years since I read it. And like, it's been, say, 6 or 7 years, 6 years? I don't know what year it is. 6 years. Six? Yeah, do the math. 12 plus 6 is 18, yeah. So 6 years. So it's been a while. And rereading the first 1 through 4, which is what I got through before recording, I finished 3 and 4 today, really reminded me how much I love this book because of how fucked up the whole thing is from start to end. One of my favorite things is the brutality of it, because a bunch of the characters, they are super powered, and they're kind of head cases. That's the reason why they work so well as being the part of The Boys. The introduction of Huey is one of my all time favorite introductions of any comic book character, or any character in general of anything, and I really hope they do the introductions the way they do in the book, they do in the show, which I'll get to in a minute here. So him and his girlfriend are walking through what looks to be a county fair, and they're talking, and she says, I love you for the first time, and then she's like, I know, like, I knew the first week, let alone the first month, that I loved you. And she's like, I don't want to scare you off. And he's obviously felt the same way. They embrace for a passionate kiss, which is mentioned that it's the kiss he'll never forget. And the next thing you know, you see the next panel, he's standing there dumbfounded, holding two severed arms, and the building next to him has a hole in it with what looks to be a supervillain crashed in it with blood running. And then you find out that basically he was thrown and basically ripped her arms right off from her body and squished her in the wall when he got thrown by a superhero named A-Train, who is a speedster. And that's how you meet Huey for the first time. And it's phenomenal, and it's fucked up. I mean, fucked up. And so he's later introduced to our main character, who's Billy Butcher, who basically runs the Boys for the CIA. And he is an Englishman, and the leader of the current incarnation of the Boys. He is the second most powerful character in the book. Or is he second? I think he might be like most powerful person in the world. I can't remember if it is or not. But anyways, I don't want to spoil too much of the funness for you, but, he and Huey are like the main characters of the whole series, but you can read all about that. I don't want to spoil nothing for you and why, But he has a bulldog named Terror, who's always with him. And they have a very bizarre relationship. Terror likes to tell, or Butcher likes to tell Terror to fuck it. So he looks at Terror. Terror looks at him. He says, "Terror, fuck it." And then Terror proceeds to fuck whatever it is that he points him at. And he fucks it. That's basically how that all works. It's a very interesting relationship, indeed. But yeah, so that's Billy Butcher. You have Huey Campbell, or known as Wee Huey. Again, his intro into the story is just fucking ridiculous. I'm trying to think of something worse, like a character that had a worse or a more fucked up introduction into a book that I've ever read, and I don't think there is. He's just, oh god, it's so fucked up. Just the visuals of him standing there, arms stretched out, holding these severed arms, is just fucking Christ, it's ridiculous. You have Mother's Milk, very strange name for a character. He is, he's a big black guy. I don't want to ruin any of this, because I want you guys to read it and, like, see how truly fucked up Garth Ennis can be with his characters. And this one just, I mean, Preacher has some pretty fucked up shit, like Arseface is pretty fucked up. Preacher himself is pretty fucked up, actually, but, all these characters are super messed up. There's the Frenchman, who is literally a Frenchman. No beating around the bush on that. He beats the death. I think he kills all three of them. Beats the death out of three dudes who call him a bad name and make fun of him for being French. And it's super hilarious. You have the other member of the boys, fifth member. This is where it gets weird, because she's not a boy. Her name is the female. The full name is, they call her the female of the species, but she goes by, or they refer to as, the female. And she is a murderess. Pretty fucked up also. The first time you meet her, she's doing freelance work for the mafia, and she rips a guy's face off and shoves it up his ass. Yep. Yeah, so, you know, that's fucked up. And little tidbit of her name, the female of the species, is a nickname. Her nickname, the female of the species, is derived from the Rudyard Kipling poem of the same name. And as you read the book, you'll understand why she's called that, because she is a woman. But she does have a tendency to rip people's faces off. It's pretty awesome. So you should probably read that. It's pretty awesome. In there, you have the original team leader of the boys, whose name is Lieutenant Colonel Greg D. Mallory. You have the legend. It's an elderly man who goes unnamed for quite a long time. Again, I'm not going to tell you who it is. And then in the government, American government, the CIA people, you have the president of the United States, whose name is Robert Schaefer, or known as Dakota Bob. You have Susan Rayner, who is the director of the CIA and who oversees the boys. You have Kessler, who is an analyst that Butcher uses to get information, uses them for information. You have the vice president, who is named Victor K. Newman, or Vic the Veep, as he's known by many a people. He is essentially George Bush Jr., so that's a fun little tidbit, too. And then you have a bunch of... I don't want to say too much more about who else is in this, because I'm going to give away some stuff. There's some a shit ton of fun superheroes they kind of make fun of in The Boys. They have the Seven, who are the Seven of the world's premier superhero team. And essentially, they're just a take on the Justice League. So you have the Homelander, who's a patriotic superhero, much like Captain America. But he's essentially Superman. But his thought process, nothing like Captain America, he's more like Superman, but his aesthetic is very much like Captain America. You have Black Noir. It's so funny. The fucked up names they give these guys. You have Queen Mav, Empress of the Other World. You have A-Train, who I mentioned earlier, he's a speedster. You have the Deep. You have Jack from Jupiter. You have the Lamplighter, Starlight, Mr. Marathon, and then you have a ton more other characters I'm not even going to go into, because there's 72 issues of book to go through, and there's all sorts of different heroes that and villains that you meet throughout there. Yeah, it's pretty pretty fun little bit super. So the history of the adaptations of this is in 2008, shortly after the I want to say it was the release. Was it that? Maybe it was. Was it? I want to say it was like after the release of the trade paperback for volume 2, I think. I can't remember what it was. Anyways, 2008, Columbia Pictures had optioned the comic book for a film adaptation to be written by a bunch of produced by a bunch of dudes and written by a bunch of other dudes who don't matter anything about it. Then in August of 2010, so 2 years later, over 2 years later, Adam McKay was signed on to direct the film, and he was stated as saying they already have a script and we're doing a rewrite, so hopefully we're getting the whole thing into shape in the fall, maybe shoot and maybe start shooting in January. Shortly after that, 2 years later, after that, Columbia Pictures reported that they had dropped its option in making adaptation of The Boys. Then Adam McKay got on Twitter and said that Paramount Pictures had picked it up and it's still in the works. As on April 30th of 2013, Manfredi and Hay, who were originally brought in to write the screenplay, said they were hired by Paramount to write the film. As of 2018, nothing has happened to it, but a television adaptation is currently in the works, and it's also had a rocky history. A website called Birth Movies Death, so it's birth.movies.death, reported a series based on The Boys is in development with Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg, and Eric Kripe, who are the men behind another Garth Ennis show known as Preacher. So Deadline then reported that Cinemax has greenlit the series. In September 2017, Variety reported that that Amazon Studios picked up the series, and on November 8th, 2017, Amazon greenlit the series with an 8-episode order, with filming to begin this year of 2018 and be released sometime in 2019. As of right now, I don't know of any other real big news on it. I just know that Amazon has ordered the series to go at least eight episodes, which should cover the first story arc that issues 1 through 7 basically go through. Because they can stretch those out, the first 6 issues go through. They can make that into 8. That's not a big problem. There's a lot of shit that goes on in those first 6 issues anyways. But hopefully people really dig it, and hopefully they like Preacher suffers from being on AMC, not because AMC is a bad channel. AMC does amazing television shows, some of which they canceled early, but that's okay. I'm not going to bring the Rubicon up, but other stuff, like, they do a pretty good job with the violence and the overall stuff, like Walking Dead and Preacher does a really good job. But Preacher leaves out a lot of stuff that a lot of people are referred to as hallmarks from that show. And I think being on something like Amazon, Cinemax could have definitely done it, because they did a really good job with Outcast, which is the book from that was Cinemax, right? Yeah, it was Cinemax. The Robert Kirkman book that they did an adaptation of, they did a really good job. Wasn't received as nearly as well as I was hoping it would have. It was good, but I mean, it's pretty fucked up of a story too. So I really hope this one does really stay with the source material, because it'll really push people's buttons, and I think that's going to be fucking amazing to see. Because you have everything from adultery to ridiculous violence to absurdity, like terror fucking another boy dog because its owner didn't pick up its shit, and he did it to make Huey laugh. I mean, just some fucked up shit going on anyways. And the utter violence is just astonishing in this book. More so even in than Preacher. I mean, they really, really ramped up the violence and the sexuality. The first time that Butcher and Rainer meet is one of the most graphic sex scenes. Not because of what you see in the book, but what is said during that is just, it's fucking fantastic. But Garth Ennis is that, so Garth, let me explain who Garth, like my interpretation of Garth Ennis and how this will work out, and it'll be my last word I talk about. Before I go over one more thing, Garth Ennis is that guy who you watch something, you wonder, what fucked up person thought of this? Garth Ennis is that guy. He has this brain in his head, in this like devious like way of diving deep into terrible things in the best way possible. So that's what makes his creator own stuff so good, like Preacher and The Boys, even Stitched, and Crossed. All of those are just super fucked up and terrific books, but he does a lot. He does things that most people wouldn't touch because of how bizarre they are. So he's the guy that does that. So whenever you ask, you watch something that's super fucked up and you say, man, who the fuck thinks of this shit? Just remember the name Garth Ennis. Might have been him, or at least someone who wants to be him. It's fucked up anyways. But that's it for this week's episode. I for the stuff, what I've been reading, I finished a book called Triplanetary, which is the first book in a series called Lensman, which I never read before. I knew it was a book series. And the reason I went to read it, after so long of knowing that it is something, is the fact that it's so, the reason I wanted to read it, and when I read, when I tell you the years this came out, it'll fucking blow your minds. But there's an anime that came out based on this book series. It is, how to put this politely, so fucking far off from what I thought it was. Because in 1984, there was a theatrical movie, and a TV series based on it. It was also a manga, I believe, too. I want to say, right? Yeah. But it's a loose adaptation, and I didn't realize that until I read the first book, how loose of an adaptation this truly fucking is. The anime is upward, is basically this. It's a mix between Logan's Run, Star Wars, Battlestar Galactica, and I'd probably say, actually, this is probably the best three I could probably throw in there. Later on, there was a movie. There was going to be a movie by Ron Howard's company, Imagine Entertainment, Universal Pictures, but it's so fucking weird that there's no fucking way anybody can make this as an adaptation. They would have to do what the anime did and loosely base it on that world, because this book is fucking weird. Like, it's written weird. The premise is fucking weird. There are six different books. The first one was written, technically, it was written in 1934. Is written by a gentleman named Edward Elmer Smith, or E.E. Doc Smith, as he goes by when he writes his books, is on there. He won a Hugo Award. It's so hard to talk. It's so hard. It's so fucking weird. It's all about this. The world he built is humanity was a byproduct of this alien race, this race of beings who are essentially amoeboids. They don't have solid bones. They transform. They can configure themselves into the loosest of materials, like gases, all up to the most solid of materials, and they can take any form. Replicate themselves in anything. They could be a fucking chair if they wanted to. And they are so old and they've been around for so long that they get bored of a power struggle. And they're so powerful. And the fact that they don't die, they're immortal essentially. They don't have a single sex. When to procreate, what happens is when they get to the end of their life, instead of dying, they separate into two forms that have all the same shared memories of the being they were before, but then start creating new memories on their own independently, and so on and so forth. So they're super smart, and as the years of millennia have gone by, they remember everything in their past lives, and they eventually decide they want to rule worlds of their own. So all these different beings, the ones that are still alive, not being killed by each other, because again, they can die. They're just essentially, if they don't die of unnatural causes, they don't die of anything else. They don't die of natural causes. They just grow old, split into two, and live on as two more things. Then later on as four more things, then eight more things, and then so on and so forth down the line. The so fucking weird. The whole premise of the first book is explaining what the Triplanetary is, and it's a formation of three planets that have human beings living on them, and they form a group called the Triplanetary that form their put their resources together to better humanity and the likes of each other, as well as the native people from fucking Venus and Mars, because there are there's aliens in it. They don't talk a whole lot about them. Then they meet these new alien races that it's so hard to fucking explain. The book was interesting. The reason it's written weird is because it doesn't really form a structure of anything, and it brings you into the first handful of chapters. Every time you meet a character, that character dies. It goes into Caesar. It has it's so hard to explain. It makes no fucking sense. I don't know if I'm gonna read the other books because it was so fucking weird. So weird. Like, so fucking weird. It's hard to explain it's hard to stress exactly how fucking strange this book was. And the fact that it comes from it's the basis for one of my favorite anime movies when I was growing up is mind-boggling, because I don't see the correlation between the two. Like, at all. Like, what fucking whatsoever. I don't get it. I do not understand how they got the animated movie Lensman out of this fucking book. And the reason this came up not too long ago is someone on Facebook or Instagram or something asked, hey, what's your favorite anime movie? And I was like, hey, or what? No, it wasn't in front of it. It was like, well, this is one of my favorites. They're like, what's a really, like, lesser known anime movie or anime you like? And I was like, well, Lensman. Have you ever heard of Lensman? They're like, no, I haven't heard of Lensman. I'm like, yeah, it's based on this. I was like, it's based on this book that I've never read before, but the movie's super dope. And then I read the book. I have no idea how they got what they got for this movie out of these fucking books. Because it is fucking weird. Super, super weird. And then the television show was called Galactic Patrol Lensman. Maybe I've never seen it before. It's 25 episodes long. Also aired in 1984. I'll maybe check that out sometime, but I really need to go back and rewatch the movie. And maybe now that I've read the first book, I'll fucking understand the link and how, I don't know, whatever, man. But yeah, so I read that over this week, past week. Really fucking weird book. It's so hard to explain without sounding like I'm out of my fucking mind or drunk or something. And tell you the truth, there's a lot of shit I didn't absorb from it very well, because it is super weird. The book is super weird. You don't know what timeline you're in. You don't know what fucking, you don't know where anything's at. Characters are so not, just like, there's no characterization whatsoever. There's just, you meet these people, then there's this thing, and some of them die, most of them die, some of them are super, it's so weird. I don't know, whatever, man. But I currently am reading the Solo Star Wars story novelization, and I'll talk a little bit more about that next week. And that's it for this week's episode. Sorry, I ran on a weird rant there, but I really needed to stress how fucking strange that book is. How weirdly different it is from the anime. But anyways, that's it for this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. And again, I am Cody. And we were talking about The Boys by Garth Ennis, soon to be a television show program on Amazon, from the guys who brought you the adaptation of Preacher from Garth Ennis. Next week's episode, I think, I probably won't remember this next week. I think I'm going to talk, I don't know, actually, to tell you the truth, I haven't really decided which one I'm going to talk about yet. So I won't bring it up because maybe I'll change my mind. I don't want to maybe just read one thing or whatever, check some out. But I'll talk to you guys next week about something else. A comic book that's being turned into a movie or a TV show next week on this here podcast. And as usual, let's be awesome.